I sincerely believe that today, in the time in which we live, that God is on trial. What do you say? Whether or not God is a God of love or a God of mercy, that's the question that many ask. In fact, last week, as I was driving over to Corning, we had a meeting. I was listening to NPR. I like to listen to NPR on occasion. And this particular time had this man who was in, I guess, a high circle, who was created many films and done a lot of films, and his promotion is homosexuality. And his premise for why he wants to produce many of these shows, such as you may have heard of Will and Grace and these other movies that promote homosexuality, he said this one thing. This is what caught my attention. He said, "I grew up with the thought that because I was different, or diverse, I was condemned to hell." And so his promotion of today is that, you know, if we just let people realize that we are normal people, that we aren't some strange weirdos living out there and so forth, that we are normal people. We grew up with this, you know, this mentality that we are condemned to hell and the Bible condemned us and all these things. And so they go on to say that anybody who is religious is a homophobic. Well, I disagree with him 100%. I believe that God is a God of love, and yes, the Bible does condemn homosexuality, but that does not make me a homophobic. In fact, I have circles of people that I do know that are in that type of lifestyle. I do not hate them. In fact, I have a desire to know them and to see that they would have a relationship with Jesus Christ too. Amen? Now, I believe with all sincerity and all truth that God loves everybody. What do you say? God is a God of love, right? God cares about you and He cares about me. God says that sin separates us from Him, right? So whether one is in the homosexual environment or practicing, or whether somebody is an alcoholic, sin is sin. That's the bottom line. Sin separates us from God. The problem is that Christians are the ones who have made many homophobics in this world today. In other words, Christians, they are about condemnation rather than proving and validating that God is a God of love and mercy. Now, if you look here with this verse again, what I want to share with us today and that I want to get across is that God is truly a God of love. What do you say? Is God a God of love? Yes or no? Yes, He is. And friends, if we are ever going to change the mentality in the world, we must live by the standard that God is a God of love without condemnation. Amen? Now, Jesus said it Himself, you know, in John 3:16, "For God did not come in the world to do what? Condemn the world," right? Right? "Did not come in the world to condemn the world." His message was to bring people to Him. And what's amazing is that we come to Him, our eyes are open, and we begin to see what sin truly is. Now, follow along with me in Isaiah 43 again. In the first sentence there, the Bible says, "You are my what? You are my what? You are my witnesses," says God. Now, I've preached a sermon using these verses before, and hopefully you'll remember, it's probably been a while ago, but the word witness means to be an eyewitness, to have an eye account of God. How many of you have seen God lately? How many of you see God in your church? How many see God in their home? How many of you see God in your hearts? You see, the problem is, many of us, we go into the world, and God calls of us to be an eyewitness, to have an account of God, and to be able to go share that. You know, the Bible is full of information validating the truth of God. Yes. But we all know that there's no greater witness than an eyewitness. Isn't that true? You can write all the books and all the stories in the world, but an eyewitness, one standing there and says, "That I have seen God." How have we seen God? Well, nature validates God, right? The change in our lives validates God. I'll never forget when I was struggling, wanting to know what God had planned for my life. It was my new Christian experience, and I was still struggling with smoking. And I was taking auto mechanics if I wanted to be a mechanic. And I'll never forget that the night before my class, that night I confessed and with in a prayer group and asked God's forgiveness for smoking, so on and so forth. God took away the desire for smoking, and never had that desire since. The next day, I go to college, and I'm taking my classes, auto mechanics, engine rebuilding, and all that stuff. And it was break time, and normal break. We'd go out, and we'd sit there on the concrete benches, and we'd all, smoke cigarettes and talk and all that stuff. Well, I came out again, and I said, what am I going to do? I'm not smoking now. I'll just go out there and sit there and enjoy the fresh air. And one of my friends came with me. And isn't it like the devil, wants to tempt us, wants to challenge us whether or not we've truly got the victory and all this stuff. And right when I sat down, a good friend of mine, so to speak, came over and he took a cigarette out and he just like was sticking it in my mouth. Here, you want to smoke? And I was like, no, thank you. He said, what'd you do, quit? And I said, yeah, I did. Oh, quit cold turkey, huh? No, didn't quit cold turkey. And he says, well, how do you know you quit? And right then, God spoke to my heart. And he said, Roger, are you going to tell him the truth? Are you going to tell him the truth how you quit smoking? Or are you going to give some just placid answer, oh, I know I quit, that's it, I'm going to try to quit or whatever like that. I knew the night before that God had taken away smoking, and that was it. And as I was sitting there, God challenged me. He says, you can, and I paused. And he was looking at me. He says, well, and I paused. And the only thing that came out of my mouth was a three-letter word, and it was God. I said, God. And he looked at me, and he walked away. And that was basically the end of our friendship. Friends, eyewitness account of God's power in our lives. Amen. That God truly exists. And the reason I truly believe that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of homosexuals out there, and this has nothing, today's lesson has nothing to do with that, I'm just using it as an illustration. A person who is desiring to realize that he wants to be loved, and if God can't love him, he's going to find love in another way. But there are millions of homosexuals out there today who want love, who want to be accepted. And friends, I believe that they are human. And they want to be loved, but we need to show it. But many times we as family members or church members have brought about condemnation. Sin is sin, yes, and sin separates us from God. But at the same time, God loves the sinner. Amen? But God wants to take care of sin. We can't hide that fact. Now, eyewitness account that God does exist. Now, if you have your little pamphlet there, the Bible, our study, read with me, it says, God the Eternal Father is the Creator, the Source, the Sustainer, and Sovereign of all creation. He is just and holy, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The qualities and powers exhibited in the Son and the Holy Spirit are the revelations of the Father. Next there, in Acts of the Apostles, page 210, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to look at the Godhead. So what I'm doing is I'm taking an excerpt from the 27, our fundamental beliefs, and then I'm going to the Spirit of Prophecy to discover her thoughts, and I'm bringing those, trying to evaluate those. So as I was looking through the Spirit of Prophecy, I was asking this question, looking for God the Father, some good clips about the identity and the care and the watch care and the love of God. And this is one of the most profound ones that I came across. It says this: through the cross, we learned that the Heavenly Father loves us with a love that is what? What? We discover that through the cross, that God loves us with a love that is infinite. Beyond reason, beyond expectation, an infinite love. In many of the circles today, many of us, whether in our workplace, whether at home, whatever circle we are involved in, we want to be accepted, yes or no. The truth of it is that with God, we are accepted just as we are. And He loves us just the way we are, amen? I like that. The neat thing is when we fall into the hands of God, He molds us and He shapes us. And when we're all done and He's done molding and shaping us, we come out the other end a different person. All of a sudden we see sin, how it really is. We don't like sin anymore. We don't want sin. We don't want those things because God changes us. He molds us. He shapes us and He forms us. The things that I once liked, I don't like anymore. You know, so forth. Okay. We're going to go through a little Bible study here today. You'll notice it says He is love, number one. Number two, He is the Creator. Number three, He is eternal. Number three, He is omnipresent. Number five, He is omnipotent. Number six, He is omniscient. Number seven, He is immutable. And number eight, take a pen there. You might want to write this down. I didn't get it in there for some reason. He is the source of life. Acts chapter 17, verses 28 through 29. Acts 17, 28 through 29. He is the source of life. I'm going to start with number two, and we're going to finish with the number one. Because many of us, you know, we go through this placid life and say, you know, God is love, God cares, you know, and so forth. We say these things. But what is the implication of God's love for you and I? That's the biggest question. If God is challenged today, all right? If God is the one who is on trial today, whether or not He is a God of love or not, that's the big question. You know, we have evolution, we have, you know, this New Age movement and all these things. And the big question is, does God really care? Does God love? And we don't find it. People don't find it in other people, so they give up, you know. They follow some other thing because they want to find love. They want to find acceptance. God is on trial today. Satan is doing everything he can to prove to the world that God is not really a God of love. God doesn't care about your problems. God isn't concerned about your trials and your challenges. God isn't concerned. God is on trial here. Does God truly care about the problems and the things that we go through? Yes or no? That's the question. So what we want to do is establish that. We want to validate. And friends, we are the eyewitness account to the effect that God truly is the God of love that He is. How do we know? Because He changed my life and He cares about me. Friends, if you cannot go outside of this church today and proclaim that to the world, then you do not have a witness. We must be able to share to the world that God is just, God is holy, God is true, God is love. Now let's follow along here. God is our Creator. It's amazing. You open up the Bible and you come to Genesis chapter 1:1, and what does it say? In the beginning, what? God. In the beginning, God. I like that. It's like writing a book, you know. It's like, you go, who's the author? You usually read the front cover, you know. But right there in the beginning, in the very words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, He validates who He is by saying, in the beginning, God. Now, what's interesting, that word God could be a plurality. In other words, it could be a plural of gods. In fact, when you go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word God is a generic form for a higher power. In fact, the word could be a feminine too, and I don't identify God as feminine at all. But the point is that in the beginning, God, He establishes, and then what happens? He created the heavens and the earth. How do you distinguish between the true God and the false gods of this world? In fact, you go through Genesis to Revelation, what do we discover? There was Baal worship, right? There was human worship. There's all kinds of forms of worship throughout the Scriptures. But God many times came down, and when He spoke, He said, I am the God that did what? Created heaven and earth. Amen? I'm the one that created. He identifies Himself as the one who created heaven and who created earth. Amen? That's how God identifies Himself. In other places, God identifies Himself as saying, I am the Lord thy God, which created the heavens and the earth. In fact, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, what did He say? Moses said, who's going to believe me? Who should I say sent me? And what did He say? I am that I am. God identified Himself as the I am, the beginning and the end. There was no beginning. God does not exist in time. He identified Himself as one who doesn't exist in time. I am that I am. I am the Lord God who created heaven and earth. God establishes His name by saying, I am the Creator. Point number three. God is eternal. God is without beginning or without end. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, let's go there together. Isaiah chapter 44,
in verse 6. Just turn your page there if you're already there. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is what? There is no God. God is eternal. God is omnipresent. He's present in all places at the same time. That just blows my mind. How can God be every time? What's amazing is you cannot outrun God. Wherever you go, there He's going to be. Whether in your car, your home, wherever you are, God is there. In fact, Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10 says, If I go into the clouds, God is there. If I go into hell or into the grave, God is there. If I go into the depths of the sea, God is there. Wherever I go, I cannot outrun the presence of God. He is always there. God is ever present. God is omnipotent, verse number 5. One having unlimited authority and power. Matthew 19, 26 tells us that with God all things are possible. Wow. With God all things are possible. There's nothing that is impossible with God. Whatever your challenge, whatever your trial, whatever your problem, whatever your care, whatever your concern, God is able to deal with your situation. God has unlimited resources. God has all authority and all power. Number 6, God has total knowledge, infinitely wise. Let's look at 46, 9 and 10. 9 and 10, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my what? I will do all my pleasure. God knows the beginning to the end. It amazes me. You know, God calls me into the ministry. And I look at the stupidity of my life sometimes and I wonder, how in the world could God use me? You know, when I blow it and make big mistake or something, like, God, you know, I blew it. You know, get me out of this mess. Why am I in the ministry? I can't do this, you know. I knew your mistake before you even did it. God knows the sin that we're going to fall into before we do it. Right? God knew that we were going to commit adultery before we committed adultery. Right? God knew that we were going to kill before we killed and so forth and on. God knows. And what I don't understand, why don't we run to God with our problems? Why don't we go if He's everywhere all the time? If He knows all my problems, if He knows the secret things of my life, why don't we run to Him more and say, God, here is my problem. Here is my sin. Take it. Take care of it. God knows the beginning to the end. And I like this, number 7, God is immutable. He does not change. And I want you to write this word down, God is dependable. You can depend upon God. God is dependable. When husband or wife fail each other, when pastor or elder fail you, God can be depended upon. Amen? Whatever your problem, whatever your care, humanly speaking, there's not a human in this world that will not fail you eventually. Either we're going to be offended or we're going to be crushed. Whatever the case, people are going to fail us left and right. But God can be depended upon. Amen? No matter what your problem, no matter what your care, we can go to Him. We can take our problems. We can take our challenges. We can go. We don't need Dr. Phil. Amen? We need God. I'm not saying all counseling is bad, but friends, if you don't put God in the center of counseling, it's no use. You're coming out the other end with not cured at all. Only God can truly cure the maladies of the heart and in the mind. Amen? We must rely on God for our problems. In other words, we can tell Him our cares. We can tell Him our trials. We can tell Him our circumstances. God is dependable. And number 8, God is the source of life. Acts 17, 28 through 29. It says, in Him we move, we live, and we have our being. In other words, the pump, the heart that's pumping is because of God. The air that we breathe in is because of God. Every part of us, every molecule of our bodies belongs to God. It's Him that establishes life. Amen? Without His divine mercy and authority, we wouldn't be alive today. Right? Now, let's backtrack. Number 2, God is creator. If God is creator, He created you for purpose. Amen? You are not a mistake in God's eyes. He created you for purpose and He created you for reason. Number two, God is eternal. He doesn't have an end. He doesn't have a beginning. God has always existed. He's all powerful. He's almighty, right? And if God is all these things, then friends, He can take care of our problems, right? He has unlimited power and authority. Friends, if He can speak the Son into existence, He can speak to your life and He can make a change. God has all knowledge, number six. And friends, if God knows everything, then He knows the challenges, the trials, whatever I face. He knows what my heart is. He knows my condition. And if God doesn't change, He's dependable. Friends, we can go to Him 24/7, 365 days out of the year. What do you say? Isn't that right? And finally, He is the source of life. There ought to be a praise and a joy in our heart every day to realize that God preserves us every time we take a breath. God preserves our lives. Now, let's look at number one together. The scripture verse that I have highlighted for us in this lesson is Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I want you to read it with me, okay? I mean, read it. Let's read it together, all right? Nice and loud. All right, you ready? The Lord has appeared of old unto... Read it. You guys aren't reading. It's on your insert there. Jeremiah 31, 3. If you want to read it on your insert. What does it say? The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting what? Love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn thee. The bottom line, friends, is that God is a God of love. What does it mean that God is a God of love? You know, we sing it when we're, you know, Jesus loves me, this, you know, not going to sing for Him, sorry. We sing these songs. We grow up singing them. We go out and there's these bumper sticker, God loves you, you know, and then we put the little fish sign, the little hearts around, God is love, and all. What is that? Oh, God loves me. Everything's, you know, sweet and dandy. Friends, that is a generic type of love for God. What did Acts the Apostle say? Through the death, well, I'm paraphrasing, through the cross, we learn that the Heavenly Father loves us with a what? An infinite love. It's not this generic, giddy, happy-go-lucky feeling of love and heart pitter-patters. It's a love that God would extend to such a degree that He would allow His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. In other words, God spent everything. He gave everything for the ransom. He offered everything that was precious to Him. He gave it to us that we might have eternal life. The bottom line for God is that He is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 1 John 4, 7 through 10. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that is what? Born of God, knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? God is love. Now, look at verse 9 and 10 closely. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God, what did He do? He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world that we might do what? Live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our what? For our sins. In Romans chapter 4, I believe, I have this, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, if you want to look at that. God showed His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Christ died. Oh man, God's love for you and I is established in sending His Son. Now let's take a step back here and just pause for a minute and let's behold something. God is the Creator. He creates everything. He creates the heavens and the earth. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. It's blowing my mind ever since I can remember as a kid. How can God just always exist? But God is eternal. Number four, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Number five, He's omnipotent, having all power, all authority. Number six, He has total knowledge. He's infinite. Number seven, He's immutable. He doesn't change. God is the source of life. This power that we see exemplified in Scripture, the God of heaven, the Creator, loves you. That God loves you. And He showed us His love by sending His Son Jesus to die on a cruel cross so that you might have eternal life. That, my friends, is infinite love. Now, Isaiah 43 calls us to be eyewitnesses to this account. Let's look at Isaiah 43 again, our scripture for today. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my what? My witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Have you experienced God's love lately? Have you? Have you experienced God's love in your heart? Have you experienced God's love in your life? Friends, the only way we're going to be witnesses in this world to the infinite loving God is to recognize that God loves us with an infinite love and be able to share that to the world. How do you know God's real? How do you know He exists? He changed my life. Well, how did He change your life, you know? How do you know God exists? He lives in my life. God is the source of all life. And friends, it's like, you know, if we part from God, it's like unplugging the plug, you know, from the light. What happens? The light dies. And friends, that's what's going to happen to us if we don't plug into the source of life. Right? Sometimes we go along life's paths, you know, we're plugged in, but we trip over the extension cord and we don't look back. And all of a sudden our light just seems to be dimming. Dimming. Friends, if you find yourself in that condition or that state, plug yourself back in to the source of life. I don't care what sin it is in your life. I don't care what trial, what problem you have in your life. God loves you. And He says, come unto me and I will take it from you. Let Him have it. Let Him have your cares. Let Him have your problems. Let Him have your challenges. Let Him have your concerns. Let Him have your dispositions. Let Him have your doubts. Let Him have whatever it is. Let Him have it. And He'll take it from you. God is love. And God loves you. I hope today that we got a glimpse of God's power. I hope today that we got a glimpse of God's presence. I hope today, let me just say this, a disclaimer here. I'm not even going to pretend to understand God completely. There's no way. We're going to have all eternity to understand that. But the Bible does give us some descriptions. And friends, if you read these things, if we look at the Scriptures together, it sets us back and our mouth drops open in awe and we say, wow, what an amazing God that He's all these things. And yet He loves me and He cares for me. Amen? God loved you so much, friends, that it broke His heart when sin entered the world. And they came up with a solution. They came up with how to fix the problem. That if Jesus should die, we would be allowed into the presence of God once again. If we accept Him as Lord and Savior. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God loves you, my friends. And He wants to bring you home. He wants you to be in heaven with Him. He wants you to be there throughout all eternity. Friends, plug back in to the source of life. And let's make it a goal and a priority in our lives to be around the tree of life with God throughout eternity.